is episode 36 of UFO Encounters. In this episode, I'm reading from Preston Dennett's book, On Board UFO Encounters, True Accounts of Contact with Extraterrestrials. When I have guests on my podcast, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. And when reading these books, I always find such fascinating information that never makes it into the podcast. And here, I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. And I've put a link to this book in the show notes. And so if you enjoy this episode, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe. So I'm going to read from chapter 11, which is titled Andy's Abduction. And this is what Preston has written. It was 1978 and 13-year-old Andy Arends was in the bedroom of his home in the Netherlands. He lived in a tract of houses only minutes from a major city. It was a crowded urban area. Tonight was a school night, so he went to bed early. Sometime in the middle of the night, Andy's room flooded with light. He first thought that his older brother had entered and turned on the light, something he did often enough. Andy opened his eyes to see his blanket was gone, and the light was so bright he couldn't even see his room. At that moment he realized he was no longer even in his room. He was somewhere else. "I was lying on a metal table," Andy says. "I looked up and saw this big window and a bench in front of the window. It had round edges and it was attached to the floor. And I thought, what's happening? Am I in a hospital?" At this point, he wasn't scared, only confused. But the fear was beginning to creep in. "I started to look around and on my right, I saw two people, two beings. They were very dark and I couldn't see their faces." He saw a strange, unrecognizable device on the floor. The walls, he realized, were rounded. The entire room was round, and although he saw no light fixtures, it was filled with light. "I don't know where it came from," Andy says. "Maybe outside, through the window? I don't know. There was light everywhere." He knew he wasn't in his room anymore, but he still figured he was on Earth. "Then I looked to my left," he says, "and I saw this little being. I saw another one, and a further, a third, and the third one was smiling at me, making a nice gesture." Still trying to come to grips with what was happening, Andy looked up. "I saw this thing above my head. It was a tube with two rings emitting a red-purple light, with a big needle in the middle, and it was coming down to my left eye." Now, Andy felt real fear, and he began to shake his head, only to discover that he could only move it a few inches. Speaking fluent Dutch, Andy's primary language, the ET spoke telepathically, saying, "Don't be scared, this won't hurt." To Andy's relief, the being was correct. "I got this amazing feeling in my body and in my mind," Andy says. "I've never felt so good before." It was a sensation he'd never felt before or since, a feeling of absolute well-being. "Okay," he told the alien. "I trusted him," Andy explains. "I let it happen. I was waiting for it." The next thing Andy knew, his alarm clock was going off and he woke up in bed. He thought to himself, what a strange and realistic dream. He was totally exhausted, as if he had been up all night. That day, Andy, his brother, and their parents were in the living room. Suddenly, Andy's brother blurted out, "Hey, I dreamed I was abducted by aliens." "Me too," Andy said, jumping up. His brother looked at him curiously, but said nothing. Nor did they talk about it. At the time, Andy was still considering the possibility that it was all just a dream. His brother, Andy speculates, thought he was kidding, but he wasn't. Still, he wondered, could it have been more than a dream? He recalled an incident which had occurred around that time while he and his family were vacationing in Spain. They were on a speedboat in the ocean on a fishing trip. The water was clear and not very deep as they could see the bottom. Andy was looking over the edge of the boat into the water when he saw a black disc shape go underneath our boat. The object was about 6 feet wide, obviously a craft of some kind, and moving at a swift pace. "Look, look," he shouted out. Andy's father and brother looked over the edge of the boat, but by then the object was gone. Andy is not sure if this sighting happened before or after the incident in his home, but they both occurred close together and he feels they are probably connected. Andy remembered a few other strange incidents from around this time. One morning, he woke up and discovered a strange mystery. He was lying the wrong way in bed. Somehow, he had turned around 180 degrees, with his head at the foot of the bed and his feet resting on his pillow. At the time, he assumed that he must have somehow turned himself around, but he couldn't imagine how. Now he wonders if it was perhaps the ETs. Another time, he woke up to find that he had a severe bloody nose. There was a lot of blood, Andy says. It was puzzling, and he had no answers as to how such a thing could happen when he was asleep. Also, around this same time, he went to bed one evening and heard a strange beeping noise. He searched for the source, but no matter where he went, he heard it clearly and at the same volume. He finally realized it was inside his head. It only happened once, so he didn't think much of it. A few years later, at age 16, Andy left home to live with his girlfriend. They were given a couch, which the previous owners didn't want because they said it was spooked. One evening, Andy and his girlfriend were sitting on the couch when they both felt it starting to shake. Then suddenly, the entire couch, with both of them on it, levitated about 1 inch, then fell to the floor. They both stared at each other in shock. "Did you feel that?" Andy asked. "Yes," his girlfriend replied. They decided to get rid of the couch. Both Andy and his brother were shy, sensitive boys. Following the UFO incident, Andy's brother began to get into trouble. Prior to then, he was very well behaved and always looked out for his little brother. Once, when Andy had mused out loud about trying to smoke a cigarette, his brother said, "I'll kick your ass." He was very smart, Andy says. He knew that smoking was not good, drinking and drugs were not good. He was very intelligent. But after that, he started smoking and drinking alcohol. At one point, Andy confronted him about it. His brother told him, "I can't cope with how it goes here on Earth." It would be only a few years later, at age 24, that Andy's brother committed suicide. Andy feels that it's connected, at least in part, to their shared experience. He wonders if the ETs were interested in him because he is sensitive and has a different outlook on life than many people. Like his brother, he finds it difficult to deal with the cruelty and evil of the world. "If I have a mosquito in my room," Andy says, "I'll take a glass, catch it, and put it outside. I don't kill the smallest thing. I've respect for all life, for all people." He has an unusual affinity with animals and finds that creatures, both domestic and wild, seem to be drawn to him. As a child, they had a pet parrot who would let nobody near but Andy. One evening, he woke up spontaneously, looking at the fish tank next to his bed. His pet fish now began to give birth. Whenever he visits someone, their pet dog or cat usually ends up next to him. Andy grew up, married, had 2 daughters. He continued to think about his experience. And when accounts of UFOs and abductions came on television, he would often watch. One evening, he was watching a show about abductions and was shocked to see a witness drawing that portrayed the exact same machine he had seen in his own experience. He was so shocked by the similarities that he made several calls trying to contact the producers of the show. When he learned that abductees often have unexplained marks on their body, he discovered that he had several, including strange red spots that a dermatologist was unable to diagnose and a scoop mark on his back. Many years after his childhood abduction, Andy was watching a movie when he had a sudden flashback to the incident. "I have this memory of floating through my window," he says. "I panicked because I thought I was going to fall." At the time, he thought to himself, "This is not possible." Floating about 6 feet above him was one of the beings who told him, "Yes, it is possible." So in this episode, I was reading from Preston Dennett's book, Onboard UFO Encounters, True Accounts of Contact with Extraterrestrials. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. And a great way to support the podcast is to sign up on Patreon. On the Alien UFO Podcast Patreon, when you sign up for $5 a month, you get an extended episode every week. And for $2 a month, you get an extended episode every month. If you want to give the extended episodes a try, there is a 7-day free trial. Just go to patreon.com/alienufopodcast. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.